lunchtime in the city, and now fewer than 4 hours before the trade deadline comes and goes, and we'll see if the Mets are involved or not. Chris Moore for Moose and Maggie on this Friday afternoon. Beautiful weather day. Enjoy it as best you possibly can. Dove Kramer producing today. And as promised, Tim Healy of the Newsday organization. Nice enough to join us. He follows the Mets, of course. Tim, there are a lot of people waiting. Do they have a reason? Do they have a reason to be near their computers, radios, televisions, wherever they're going to get their news?
Well, I think on a day like today, with now less than 4 hours to go until the trade deadline, anybody with a certain level of interest is naturally going to be attached to a screen or two. That said, it's been quiet on the Mets front so far. It was quiet last night. There hasn't been a whole lot today. All of the buzzy, rumored possibilities that make various amounts of sense from recent weeks, you know, Bryant, Baez, Zach Davies, John Gray, like all these names we've heard linked to them, all of those or most of those remain in play, I guess. But nothing will tell us what's going on quite like time.
No, there's and of course, thankfully there are deadlines. These things would go on forever. you need an end of the rainbow, and we're going to get one at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Tim, do you think the Yankee movement has any effect on Steve Cohen or Zach Scott? Sometimes in a market like this, you don't want to get shown up by the other team. And, of course, the Mets are in first place, and the Yankees are far from it. So they have the ultimate prize right now, and that's it, where they are in the standings. But do you think there's any effect there?
I would be stunned if it had any effect on Zach Scott and his mentality and approach. But Steve Cohen is the wild card, not only in that question, but with this whole trade deadline and this whole running the Mets thing. He is still a new owner. This is his first trade deadline. And we don't really know yet what kind of owner he is. If he has maybe a little bit of George Steinbrenner in him, or if he is, while interested, more laid back and trusting of his baseball people. All of the indications through the first, what's it been, 8-10 months of his ownership, is that he hired Sandy Alderson as team president. Sandy hired Zach Scott. Steve Cohen is, while involved, pretty hands-off with the baseball stuff, trusting them to make decisions. That's easy to do most of the year when it is signing non-gigantic free agents, when it's running the day-to-day roster and transactions and things like that. But at a more stressful moment like the trade deadline, we don't know how Steve Cohen is going to react. So today will be telling. Sandy Alderson and Zach Scott both are going to talk to reporters once the dust settles this afternoon. So I'll be interested to hear specifically about Steve Cohen's involvement and interest, et cetera.
Tim, from your perspective, what should they be trying to achieve right now?
That's a good question. I think their oft-stated primary objective of pitching help makes sense. I think an additional late-inning reliever would be more helpful than some random back-end rotation arm like Zach Davies of the Cubs. I think the Mets, they have had a ton of injuries, obviously, and there's some question marks health-wise in the rotation the rest of the way. But I think about it this way. Are the Mets going to win the NL East? I am very comfortable predicting that they will, because the Nationals gave up. The Phillies aren't very good. The Braves aren't very good. So it's still a race, but if the Mets don't win the division, then something went horribly wrong. The other question is, are the Mets going to win the World Series? Maybe, but I would guess not. They're not that good compared to the Dodgers or the Giants or the Padres, right? Even the Brewers, maybe, who they played well against a couple weeks ago. So it's a tough question of what deal is there out there to be made that will make a difference in their fate this season. And I'm not sure that there's an obvious answer that will improve their World Series chances. That, of course, is the ultimate goal. And getting the playoffs is one thing, and I think they're going to do that fine. But if they make noise in October, it will be because Jacob deGrom is healthy and dominant, because Taijuan Walker is back to his first half self, because Carlos Carrasco is healthy and his regular front-ish end of the rotation self, So today, when you talk about some of these non-premier names, I don't know that they move the needle much as far as the story of the 2021 Mets.
And it's interesting, and we're talking to Tim Healy of Newsday, to muse about just what an effect the Dodgers NBA-style loading up on all-stars baseball, which we don't see very often, but we're seeing it now, what effect that has on all the other teams in the National League, and perhaps the teams in baseball, but certainly National League teams, do they approach with a little less enthusiasm now, figuring, hey, we could beat them, but we're sure as hell not going to be favored to beat them no matter what we do at the deadline?
Yes, I have to think, as somebody who does not work for a team, that that has, you know, the Dodgers getting better lowers the chances that anybody else can come out of the National League and go to the World Series. The old cliche that all you have to do is get in to the tournament in October is still true, but man, I don't know how anybody is going to beat the Dodgers. NBA style is right. You know, yesterday was really exciting. You know, there were reports that the Padres were going to get Scherzer, and that's sort of interesting. But then the Dodgers come out of nowhere with a Scherzer Turner blockbuster.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be putting one of the best shortstops in baseball, a guy who has the case of the best shortstop in baseball, and Trey Turner at second base. That's just mind-blowing stuff. So, yeah, I mean, what kind of gets back to my earlier point that the Mets are first-place team. I expect them to win a division, but what are they realistically going to do once they get there? So whoever comes out of the East or whoever comes out of the National League is going to have to get through the Dodgers one way or another. So it got a lot harder for the National League yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, Turner is nice icing on the Scherzer cake, or Scherzer is nice icing on the Turner cake, depending on how you look at it. Either way, you get those kind of players to an already very loaded team, and you take a step back and go, hey, what are we doing, boys? What are we doing? I mean, you know, how hard do we want to pursue this? So there's no question that that's in there. Look, I've been a guy that's always, or at least in recent years, felt that Conforto, for whatever reason, was sort of a barometer for the Mets and where they were going, and that when he was on, everything seemed easier for them. When he's off, everything seems harder, and the criticism seems to flow more easily in my business and in yours when Conforto is not there. What do you make of where he is right now, both physically, mentally, and going into the contract and all? I mean, it's got to be extremely disappointing to the Mets front office that Conforto has had the kind of year that he's had.
It's been a disaster for him. I mean, I was talking to him the other day, and you know, I asked him, you know, when you step up to the plate and the numbers are right there on the board and your average goes from 204 to 203 to 201 and it's getting really close to having a one in front of it, does that have any effect? And he said that he said he consciously does not look at the board, which is different, I think, than the usual answer you hear from players, is that it's as if he's not even there. So it seems like he is going out of his way to try to block out those struggles. Your theory that he is a barometer for the Mets is, I think, spot on. You know, going back to 2015, even when they called him up straight from AA a year after he got drafted, he was a bit of a spark plug, not the spark plug, but a spark plug on the way to the World Series that year. That's pretty spot on. He's always been a streaky hitter, but this year it's been streaky, but only in a bad way. You know, he's had terrible streaks and then just regular okay streaks. He believes that his hamstring injury in May really screwed him up. He had a slow start, thought he was coming around, got hurt, and then by the time he got back, it just wasn't there. It was gone again. So it's just been an ugly, ugly year for him. Really unfortunate financially going into a contract year. And it's going to be an interesting question once the trade deadline, once we get past this and get into the final stretch of the season, if he has, continues to be pretty bad as a hitter for the rest of the season, do the Mets even offer him a qualifying offer at the end of the year? I don't know the answer to that yet, but it's going to be an interesting question. So when you look around the diamond and spots where the Mets could potentially upgrade, right field is where they need more production from, even more than third base, where J.D. Davis has been a solid hitter. But then you get into the conversation of, you know, are you going to supplant your de facto captain in a lot of ways?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. That's why it's such an interesting story, and you root for Conforto at this point. 165 in the last 30 days. It's just been a struggle, beyond struggle, and it really, you know, is making doubters of Met fans and making them nervous about the rest of this year, because it's just, he's just too important a player to them with a lot of unproven guys around him. As the Mets move toward this deadline, and you see Berrios' name, you see Story, you see Bryant, you see certain names that of pretty quality players, you say to yourself, boy, what do the Mets have to give back? Of the current major league roster, which guys do you think are the most tasty bait for other teams out there?
Tasty bait. That is a really good question, because the answer I was preparing is which guy or guys might the Mets be most willing to part with. And the answer to that one would be J.D. Davis, especially if they're adding an infielder. But tasty bait off the Mets roster, I think the Mets have a lot of tasty bait. I think Jeff McNeil is a really attractive. I think, Dominic Smith, for any team that wants a lefty hitting first baseman, could be really attractive. That said, I'd be shocked if the Mets parted with either of those players. Then you get into guys like Nimmo or Alonso or any of those guys who are obviously not going anywhere.
Davis is the most obvious choice. If they were to make a deal today of any substance, Davis would be in that deal in all likelihood.
Well, he would be in that deal if the other team demanded a major league player, I think.
Right.
That said, a lot of these teams that are blowing it up are sellers. I don't know if they are necessarily looking for a major league player. They might prefer prospects. J.D. Davis would be expendable, I think, if the Mets added an infielder like Baez, Story, Bryant. But that's not by any means a farewell card for J.D. Davis.
The dynamic of the Braves being poor this year and losing Acuna and struggling, I don't think really changes the overall narrative that the Braves have good players, and that the Braves will, in this early part of this decade, be a thorn in the side generally, even if they're not this year, of whoever's trying to win the National League East. How big a factor is that in Zach Scott's thinking? Is that, a lot of media guys, a lot of people around baseball think that we have a good chance to win the National League East this year. But we know that, you know, the Braves are lurking out there. We don't know what the other teams are going to do. We know Washington's now admitted to a rebuild, etc. But we don't want to get drunk with our 2021 success here because the division is poor. We want to understand that in order to compete in this division, we're going to have to be pretty good. Does that keep them from going for the brass ring this year, knowing that it's a down year in the division and it's harder to judge them?
I think it does, because for the Mets and the people running the Mets, it's never about only 2021. You know, so when you talk about some of the prospects that they have who they could trade for immediate help if they wanted to, they would rather not trade their best prospects. That was true in the offseason. It's true right now. It'll probably be true this next offseason, because the buzzword that you hear from the Mets or anybody else is sustainable winning, right? That is basically what the Braves have done for the last few years. They won the past three division titles. This year's a down year. They still have an outside shot, but overall, you still like what the 2022 Braves, for example, look like. When you think about the longer term or medium term NL East, the Braves should be there. The Mets should be there. The Nationals are basically starting over. You never really know what the Phillies are going to do year to year, so good luck to them. And then don't sleep on the Marlins, who are going to have a nasty pitching staff. They already do. It'll probably be even better next year. And if the Marlins can actually find a couple major league hitters to balance out their roster, then all of a sudden they might be competitive again. So, yes, the Mets are winning this year. The 2021 NL East is down overall. But it remains very interesting and very competitive 2022 and beyond.
Yeah, I think so too. Gut feeling as we wrap this up, Tim. They do something by 4 o'clock?
Gut feeling is they do something small. I think they're going to do something, but I don't know that the fan base is going to be satiated.
That's probably the safest bet of all. No matter what they do, they'll want something more. That's for sure.
Right.
We'll be watching together. Enjoy the weekend. Thanks very much, Tim. Appreciate the insight.
Excellent. Thank you.
There you go. Tim Healy of Newsday giving us the scoop. And obviously, we are getting down to it with a 4 o'clock deadline. Been quiet so far during the day today, but it usually heats up in that final hour especially. So keep it right here on the fan all day long, because we will be on top of it when changes, if and when those changes come.